Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She is a Dallas-based interior designer who specializes in unique designs that reflect the distinct lifestyle of each of her clients. An innate business sense, love of travel, and an eye for beautiful things led her to open the doors of her own boutique firm in 2013. After graduating from the University of Texas, she attended London's Inkbald School of Design. Blending modern and European elements, her refreshing perspective on classic American design is timeless and effortless. Her passion for creating beautiful homes, combined with an intuitive understanding of her clients' needs, granted her the opportunity to work on a variety of projects encompassing both traditional and the contemporary. Turns out, she's a very busy lady making the world more beautiful. Amy Berry, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us today, Amy. So take us back and tell us the story of you connecting with the world of design for the first time.
Well, initially, design wasn't really what I kind of set out to do. At the University of Texas, I studied history and a little bit of business and a little bit of art history, and didn't totally know for sure what it was I wanted to do. I did a brief stint in commercial real estate. I did a little bit of private wealth management, and then I kind of got into all of that and wasn't totally happy with it. I'd always been creative, but I just kind of never thought of interior design as an option. And so a couple years out of school, my husband got transferred to London for his job. And so we moved over there. And that's when I went to the Inkbald and spent 3 years there. Did a year of school about, and then worked for Pierre Frey, which was a great place to just be a fly on the wall. So it kind of just happened. It was something that I, always loved to do and kind of had a passion for, but never really truthfully considered it as a career. And so kind of after being in London for 3 years, we started moving back to Dallas. I grew up here, and my mother-in-law actually is in residential real estate. And so kind of when we were transitioning back, we were spending, it was probably 8 months of being in London for a month and then Dallas for a month. And realistically, it was like, no one is going to hire me if I'm back and forth that much. And so I kind of just started doing some little projects, and it just snowballed. Dallas is busy, and so it's been a lot of fun to be back and kind of having a chance to do what it is that I love to do. So
wonderful.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a lot of fun.
Congratulations.
Well, thanks. So it's been about 4 years, but it's been a busy 4 years.
So what was it like getting settled in? I mean, coming back, Dallas was home for you growing up, is that right?
So I am, my husband and I both actually, we kind of were all over the place until we got married. I lived in New York for a little bit, and I lived in Austin for a little bit, obviously, when I was in school, and then and he was all over the place. And then going to London and doing school there was real interesting because the program I went to, there were maybe 12 of us, I think about three Americans and just kind of people from all over, which really the program was so historically based, which is, I mean, I loved it because loving art history and all of that, there was a lot of overlap in terms of what we were studying. But the thing I think that was so great about the Inkbald was kind of how they trained us. There was such a focus on the client. There was such a focus on, okay, you have to, doing these studies of how people lived and how people are and what they like and everything down to, from colors down to what their favorite fragrance is, which kind of seems crazy, but I think that it had more of an impact on me than I realized when I was going through it, I think. Because I think there's kind of a real element of this job that is storytelling. And it's so personal. There's no way for it not to be.
Right.
And so I think, when you get into it and you start to get to know your clients and you kind of get an understanding for how they see the world and how they see their families and how, all of that, I think that they kind of look to designers to to give them something that might be in their head, but something enhanced, I suppose. Something that it's, they might be able to tell you what it is that they like, but you know, something kind of beyond that. So yeah, I mean, the good thing about Dallas is there's, it's busy and there's just, there's kind of a little bit of everything. So, one of the parts of my job that I love is that no two projects are really totally alike. And I prefer that. I don't want someone to go into a house I did and it's not my house. It doesn't necessarily need to look like me. I'd rather it look like the people that live there.
Right. And do you find that people respond to that approach, or do people wanting a more defined product, more defined end result?
I think it depends on the person. I mean, obviously, some people are going to come to you because they saw something you did and they want something that's similar. But at the end of the day, no two houses are alike either. So it's, you know, what worked for someone may not work for something else. And it's, you know, you can always reinterpret something. But I think that's one of the fun parts about this is that I would rather not give two people the same thing.
Yeah. It sort of defeats the whole idea of bringing a professional in to do the job. If you're just sort of cranking out the same product.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you want to shop the look, you probably don't need me.
Right. So what has the adjustment been like for you being back in Dallas after being in London? Two very different cities.
Very different. I mean, we love being back in Dallas. I mean, our families are both here, so that's a perk. But all of it is kind of different. I felt like what was going on in London design-wise when I was there was a little probably more modern than what you get in Dallas. Mm-hmm. It was completely different. I feel like when I was there, you either have kind of the very traditional, what you think of when you think of English design, and then you also had kind of the more modern, almost to me, just because I grew up in the South. So I grew up around traditional design, which I love.
Right.
But to me, like some of the more modern stuff that kind of felt like people living in a hotel, like that wasn't totally my speed. But I think there was a lot of takeaways from it. Like, I think the use of texture and the use of all of that, I think there's so much going on there in terms of it being kind of an international melting pot, I guess, for design that, I think it's one of those things you don't totally realize what all you take away until you really walk away from it.
Yeah. Well, and it must, even in subtle ways, influence the work that you're doing, and that can only be a good thing, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, I do think I probably mix more styles than it probably sometimes seems. Like I generally prefer more traditional upholstery and that sort of thing. But when it comes to lighting, and art, more contemporary. But I think that's kind of part of what I took away from being there is, you know, most of the things that I think as being Americans, we have this mentality that, you know, things happen overnight and that you're going to build this house in, you know, 3 months and everything's going to be in there. It's going to be perfect. But I think there's something really great about layering in a collection of things that you acquire over time. And that's something that I think they're probably better at than we are.
Yeah, I would think so. Certainly looks that way from this perspective.
Yeah. And I think too, it's, you know, you inherit something that, like, you inherit a dining table and it's been passed down 5 generations and that sort of thing. And I would love to inherit a dining table like that, but
you and me both.
Yeah. So I just think it's a different perspective.
That it does seem to be. Well, so tell us about the work that you're doing right now. What projects are happening that have you kind of jazzed and excited?
Well, there are a couple of things, actually. Most all of what we do is residential, which I love. And most of what we do right now is kind of more local. I just had a baby in September. And so when I got pregnant, we kind of reined in the traveling a little bit so I could be here with her. So, I mean, a lot of fun stuff. I mean, I think people in Dallas and people in Texas, and they love color. And so we have a couple things that we're working on that I'm real excited about. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
No, projects are good. They're all good, I think, at the end of the day. And all of them have challenges too. So it's you know, the good and the bad, or I shouldn't say bad, but the good and the challenging. So when in that context, what is it that you like the most about the work that you get to do?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say the most rewarding, no question, is to give people a space that they really use and that they really live in. I think at the end of the day, that's probably why we all do this. I mean, there really is nothing better than having a client that is so overjoyed at something. So I think, I guess, kind of breathing life into a space that, I mean, everyone kind of has that room that, you know, we don't use this room, we don't go in it, it kind of just sits there and whatever. And I think to help people use a room that they never thought they would is always a great thing. And it's always, I mean, when clients are happy, it's the best.
Yes, we like them when they're happy. Well, so, I mean, the business is, or can be, on certain days of the week, a bit challenging. Sometimes things don't go to plan. How do you navigate the days when there are challenges?
I mean, I think a lot of that just comes down to, a lot of it's communication, I feel like. When I first started considering going into this, I met with another designer here who I have a lot of respect for. And I remember she looked at me and said, this job is 90% people and 10% design. And I saw her a couple of weeks ago and she was like, how's everything going? And I kind of reminded her when we got coffee and what she told me. And I looked at her, I was like, I think it's only 5% design. I swear it's 90% people. I mean, at the end of the day, when you have so many hands touch something, it's like something's going to go wrong. Mm. But I think ultimately it's just kind of, it's a service business. It's, you know, you have to be sensitive to the fact that you're in someone's home and it can be touchy. But I think at the end of the day, just communicating is probably the most important thing.
That is a huge thing. It's important to be sure that we're speaking the same language as the client. And that can be a challenge sometimes.
Well, and you have to trust each other. I think there has to be kind of a mutual trust and respect. And I do think it's hard because I think, I'm young and I have a lot of clients that are young. And I think that, you know, our generation probably is more inclined to feel like they can be the expert on everything just because there are a lot of tools out there and all of that. But I think when you hire someone, you know, there's kind of an understanding of, you know, I'm hiring you because I like what you do. But I think it's a two-way thing. I think, yes, in some essence, you are the expert, but it's also their house and, but you have to trust each other.
Right. And that's a process, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Building trust. Mm-hmm. Well, so Amy, our listeners at home tune in to, hear great stories and adventures and all about the behind the scenes stuff of the business, but they're also looking for tips and ideas because they're working on their own homes, working to create beauty in their own home. Talk to our listeners at home for a moment. Share with them a tip, an idea that might help them avoid a mistake in their home. What would be your message to them today?
Oh, that's a good question. The best thing I think that I could say, and I say this a lot, but when it comes to kind of refreshing things, it works a lot better, it seems, to focus on one room or one specific project. Rather than throwing your money a little bit in all sorts of places, you're going to be a lot happier if you kind of focus and really have a big picture plan rather than trying to piecemeal something together. So it's worth having kind of, here's the big picture, here's the overall concept, and here's what it is you're going for, because that's how you avoid a mistake. Even starting with something as like a furniture plan, I mean, just knowing where things are going to go, because the worst is when you go out and you fall in love with some table and you get it home and it doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for shopping and acquiring over time and, you know, collecting things that you love. But when that happens, you need to be sure that, you know, that it fits with everything else. And don't skip on upholstery. You have to sit comfortable. There's nothing worse than an uncomfortable sofa.
Yeah. And then know that you're stuck with it for a while. That's insult and injury, right?
Yes. Yes, no one wants that.
So let's turn this a little bit and talk about the place that you call home, Amy. Tell us a little bit about your home and maybe a room that's in the house that's a favorite of yours.
Yeah, of course. So we bought this home, it's coming up on 3 years. And honestly, when we bought it, it had sat on the market for a while. It was everything inside. It was big and brown. But we did a little bit. I mean, we did a lot actually, but, I think paint made the biggest difference in this house. The way the house was set up, the hallways are great and wide and all that. And so you kind of at the front of it have areas that really do feel like rooms, which I think is nice. Mm-hmm. You have a living room that's a defined living room, and a dining room that's a defined dining room. And then kind of as you get back at the end of the house, it opens up a little bit, which is nice for entertaining and that sort of thing. My favorite room probably right now is probably the nursery, just because it's the one I've just most recently did. but I did it. Well, I did it kind of always wanting it to be a nursery. We knew we were going to have a girl. I didn't really want a... I love pink. I really do. But I did not want a room that I was going to have to change if I have another baby. So I'd fallen in love with this blue and white kind of tall looking wallpaper from Susan Harder. And it's printed on vinyl. So everyone that came through and thought I was crazy for putting this wallpaper in my nursery, I get the last laugh because I can clean it. So it wipes off. So, but that's probably my favorite room. And yeah. And we put two chairs in there. And so, you know, we can both sit in there with her and hang out and all of that, which is nice.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a good little room.
Great. Well, so what would our listeners be surprised to find in your home?
They would be surprised to know that my dining room isn't totally done. It's been done in my head for about a year and I just haven't gotten to it. Mm. It's on the list for this year. But that's not totally fleshed out. And then... they'd probably be surprised to find out that my office is at my house, but it won't be for a whole lot longer.
Oh, so getting ready to transition?
We are moving out in about 2 weeks.
How exciting.
I know. I think my neighbors are very excited.
So what's the new office space like?
We're going to be down the kind of in the design district, it's Dallas has actually a really wonderful kind of whole design center and everything's super centrally located, which we're lucky to have. And it's really only 10 minutes from my house anyway, but it'll be nice to have a little bit more space.
Great. So what will the old office in the house become? Or do we know yet?
It'll go back to being a bedroom.
Another bedroom. Yeah. Always good to have a few of those around, right?
I know. So right now it used to be that my office took up two bedrooms and, I kind of enjoyed it because I don't know that I really want guests, but they'll go back to being bedrooms. So.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Let's think about design or style heroes of yours. If you had an opportunity to hang out with someone whose work you've admired and whose work has really impacted you, could be living, could be deceased. Tell us who you'd pick and why.
Probably Madeleine Caston. I always, there's something about what she did. I think that's so beautiful and wonderful. That kind of was when I kind of first got into all of this. She was always someone that I just really, really admired. Honestly, so many, I'm trying to think. I mean, I could.
Well, you can't go wrong with Madeleine. I mean, my goodness, work is.
Let's see. Well, Miles Red, I think he's a genius when it comes to color. I'm always inspired by everything he does. Victoria Hagen. I mean, it really is. I feel like there's so much beautiful work that I feel like I'm just kind of always inspired by kind of all the like my peers, I guess.
That's a really good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I think one of the reasons I love this industry is because it's always evolving. Yeah. So, I mean, there's always something to learn. There's always something new. There's always something, you know, it's a really exciting industry to be in.
That it is. And speaking of the industry, when you think about your career, the trajectory that you're on, what's in the future for you? What's a goal or an objective that you're working towards? Maybe it hasn't begun to materialize yet, but, you know, in time, what would you like to see happen in your career?
Well, that's a really good question. I really do. I love kind of the direction that we're headed in. I love doing homes that, you know, for families that you kind of build relationships with and all of that. And I think, you know, when you start in this industry, I think that you kind of initially start out doing a lot of, you know, like a room here, a room here, a room here. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to kind of get to the point where you can, it's like, let's do the whole house top to bottom. And I think that comes, you know, after a couple of years of, you know, the experience and building relationships and all of that. And so for me, I would say, I don't know, I think that there are a lot of places I could think of that would be that I would love to do a house. My husband grew up in going to Northern Michigan in the summers, and I'm dying to do a house there. Whether I campaign to get one of my own, which might be a while, or, but it's such a, I think that's always kind of been in the back of my mind that this would be, I would love to do a house there. It's kind of like it's the most idyllic summer place. It's, the weather is perfect. It's on the lake, and I'd love to do a house there.
Well, we fully expect that will happen. We believe around here that when you put things out into the universe has a way of making it happen. So we'll celebrate that with you when it happens, okay?
Sounds good to me.
Yay. So what's the very best decorating advice you've ever heard?
Let's see. You know, I think it was Miles Redd that said this, but it was something like, when you buy the best, you only cry once. Mm. And I really think there's something to that. I think, you know, when you buy what you love, at the end of the day, you know, the things that you love, I kind of believe that they inherently go together, just on the premise that, you know, the things that you love.
Yeah. Very wise advice. Very wise advice indeed. Think about design trends for a moment. Everybody talks about them, but give me a trend that you're going to be really happy to see go by the wayside.
Let's see. Ombre, probably. Oh. I'm ready for that to go.
The clock is ticking on that one, right?
Yeah, I don't think I ever jumped on that wagon. Everything ombre I could do without. Let's see what else. I love the warmer metals. I love brass and all of that, but I do think that the brass and the acrylic can get way overdone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that could be reined in. I'm sure I could think of others.
Those are two good ones. We'll run with those. We'll run with those. Let's do a hypothetical. Pray it never happens, but if there were a fire at the house, family, loved ones, animals, all safe. But what's the one object in your home that you would risk the flames to save, Amy?
Probably the chandelier in the office.
Hmm.
It's not even necessarily the nicest thing in our house. It's just kind of a little thing that just makes me happy. I can't remember who makes it. It's kind of a rattan. It has a little brass monkey hanging off of it.
Oh.
but it's just, when I first had my daughter, she would sit on the work table in this office and just stare up at it. And I love it too. And so probably that.
That sounds like a good one to hang on to. If ever the need presents itself. We hope it doesn't. Yes. Are you a book person, Amy?
I am.
You are, yeah. It seems to be going around in this industry. And that's a good thing. I like that. Well, give us a book recommendation, a book that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover who's listening.
Well, one of my dear friends, Mark Sykes, has a wonderful book that just came out, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Called Beautiful, but it's also beautiful. I think that one's really good because I think it... It covers a lot, and I think it really is a wonderful book. The other book I would say that is a new one I just got, and I kind of can't get enough of it. It's called A Vision of Place. It's by Curtis and Windham. It's beautiful.
A Vision of Place. Mm-hmm. I've missed that one. Tell me more.
It's their architecture firm. I mean, it's really, really beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those that you get and it takes you a couple of days to fully get through it because it's beautiful. Like every detail of it is beautiful.
Wonderful. Well, we will put links to both of those books. Mark's book is wonderful, a big favorite of ours around here. And we'll find information on A Vision of Place. And we'll put both of those links in the show notes section of today's interview so people can click on those and add them to their library at home. I know that they will thank you for those recommendations.
Yeah, happy to.
Amy, we come down to the last question. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
We end every show with the same question, so let me paint a picture for you and then get your thoughts. Imagine that you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
I would... Gosh, that's a good question. Does my home have windows?
Sure.
I think it probably do curtains. And then I probably would give myself some sort of... I probably would do curtains and a daybed.
I love it. Good place to start, right?
Everyone needs somewhere to sleep.
That's right. And you might as well do something with those windows. Make them pretty.
Seriously, you can't put art on the walls.
Indeed. Amy Berry, what a joy getting to speak with you today. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Great. Great indeed. We want to say thanks to our subscribers for tuning into the show today. As always, we are very aware that none of this means anything without you. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing news about the show with your friends and helping us to grow. Go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post a link to Amy's website so you can follow all the great things that she's doing. We'll post a link to the two books, the Mark Sykes Beautiful Book and A Vision of Place, two books that you're going to want to have in your design library. Click on those links, add those to your library, send your thanks to Amy for the recommendation. While you're there on our site, click a few buttons, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.